Wednesday, race fans. I think we call this a cold open. I guess the house organ not able to get going. So we're off and running, and a very good Wednesday. The midweek action picks up a little bit today. We're still sort of feeling the effects of all the holiday racing calendar. And so, for instance, Gulfstream runs today. We've got New York picking up tomorrow. You gotta adjust. I do recommend checking the first post, because what is the requirement or the approach where these first posts keep changing and changing and changing? It's just ridiculous. It's one thing after daylight savings and so forth, when the clocks change or whatever. But every time you look up, Rich Eng actually wrote a little missive about it. Santa Anita, but New York too, we constantly have these different post times, but you gotta be on your toes. Looking forward to a few of the regular conversations this morning, including Pete. Pete will join us, and we'll get his holiday season wrap up, recap, and quite a bit of additional contest conversation, because time is getting short. Time of the essence if you're hoping to get to NHC, and there's quite a few first chance, last chance type contests between now and arrival in Vegas. The Hialeah contest coming up this weekend, and deservedly getting some attention. I think I saw a press release as well that Leslie Visser is going to be on site as a kind of a host, which is pretty neat. And that's a first chance, last chance. You can, letting people pick their spot, whether they want to use it for this year's contest, or if they want to save it for next year, particularly for those that have already had two seats filled for NHC. And I am going to mention, I don't think we're going to talk to him today, but Chris Katulik at Fonner Park, and they've, at the end of the month, they've got, literally one of the last chances. And so we want to talk to Chris, who is really, works so hard to promote Fonner. And I've said before, they got a great heritage, obviously, of racing in Nebraska. And for those that that can make the trip, this is a good opportunity. It's a $200 live money and a $75 sign up. And I think between now and the next couple of weeks, we're gonna give some people an opportunity to get in for free. But if you want to book travel, Grand Island, Nebraska, and get out to Fonner Park. Last year, over 200 players. And I'm pretty sure this was not this time of year, but I know that Steve Crist used to go out to the horse park, and you know, I've told you the stories about going to McSarban. I mean, the player community and the, you know, really the horseman community really love the game. And so we'll give Chris an opportunity. Also hope to talk to Aaron Crady from the TCA. The annual stallion auction is going live. In fact, it may actually be right now. It might have been a 9 o'clock start. And this is a huge fundraising period the next 3 days, 4 days online. We'll get a chance to talk to Aaron, talk about this year's grants and what Thoroughbred Charities accomplishes, which is considerable. So we'll send you out links as well. And I want to see, I'm pretty sure it starts. Yeah, it started 9 o'clock and goes to Friday, 5 p.m. And, you know, always a tremendous roster of stallion seasons, regional, Kentucky, you name it. I mean, here's a glance. Vino Rosso already. How about that? And Constitution, who's hotter than him? Blame, Audible. Then a lot of the, you know, literally A to almost Z, several dozen. And you know, there are bargains actually to be found in the stallion auction every year. So I'm going to send you out the link. And Thoroughbred Charities of America, today, tomorrow, and Friday. We'll talk to Sid, top of hour two, and just a bucket load of activity. I mean, we were only gone for less than 2 weeks, time out, vacation, and so much went on. And that includes, of course, after the first of the year, you had some of the first foals are beginning to drop. It's fuzzy foal photo season. you get the, you know, one farm after another trying to out-cute the other. But Justify and Always Dreaming got their first foals. And, you know, over the next several weeks, there'll be one, you know, first foal after another. And I want to ask Sid, you know, about how, you know, those first crop drop types, you know, it not a lot to go on, obviously, but you know, people are looking at those early confirmation pictures and trying to get a feel for, you know, what kind of produce those first crop, you know, first foal stallions are getting. And you know, there's still a good 5 weeks before stallion barns open. And, you know, there's still plenty of people making decisions, and there's people that are going to wait and see what they produced with their covers for this year. And they're going to, you know, make a determination, take a look at the baby, and, you know, do they stay in that same arena? Do they look elsewhere? We'll talk to Sid about how those decisions come about. you may have seen Sid's piece, you know, talking about Coolmore buying in to Maximum Security. So we'll hit a bunch of storylines with Sid. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Catch up with Seth. I haven't talked to Seth Merrow during the holiday season, so we'll get to Seth, and you know, plenty of other conversation points. Some things from the desk and coming off of yesterday's visit and visits, I do want to mention, you know, one thing. Speaking of famous produce and famous famous progeny, last night it must have been late, 6, 7 o'clock. And I was thumbing through the social media feed and my own, looking at, I kind of like the memories section that you get from Facebook. And one of the things that produced yesterday, the reminder that, January 7th, 2009, and Casey, 2 years ago, I think, Casey had cut out a conversation with Bobby Frankel, and it was January 7th, 2009, that word came that Judmont had put down Toussaint, and we reached out to Bobby to talk about her, and it's 10, 11 minutes, and he's just terrific, and it popped up last night on Facebook, and so I don't think I had ever put it on Twitter, so I put it on Twitter, and whether you were hearing, I know our friend Dan Hart, Dan said he had never heard Bobby's voice, on any tape or so forth, and so it was the first time for him ever. He'd only in the last several years become interested in the game, and he had never heard Bobby speak. And, whether it's an experience like that or whether, you grew up around the sport and enjoyed the fascinating character that was Bobby Frankel. You'll really enjoy it, and I listened to it again, and I was appreciative that that kind of thing gets regenerated. So if you haven't heard it since 2009, or if you heard it when I trotted it out 2 years ago when KC posted it on the At the Races Facebook page, it's really pretty touching, and he talks about what a character she was, and then, talked about the parade of great male and female progeny that Toussaint produced, and started with Chester House and Honest Lady and Empire Maker and Chiseling and on and on. And, Bobby reminds you of those moments when she did crazy things, both in training or on the racetrack, where she was liable to just stop. just something would get in her head and she would just, just stop. And in some cases, throw an exercise rider over her head. And pretty much all the produce, I think Bobby said the Chester House was not all that difficult, but famously Honest Lady was very much like her dam, and an Empire Maker was known to occasionally pitch a fit. So if you've never heard it, I think you'd really enjoy it, and whether you just want to hear Bobby's voice again, it was always a treat. It was always special when you had a chance to hear from him. He's just so thoughtful, so interesting. The late, great Bobby Frankel. A couple of things that before we go to the break, and Pete's going to join us first. I'm going to save some of that handle discussion. One thing that I got to mention, the situation in Australia, which is just horrific. The racing community, not just in New South Wales, but, all over Australia and New Zealand and everywhere else in Australasia, pitching in to try to help. It's just catastrophic. And I've seen a lot of, you know, certainly when we had our circumstance involving San Luis Rey, Puerto Rico too, you know, racing interests from around the world pitched in. So really, and you know, I don't know if everybody has seen this story. You had another, you know, in addition to the slaughter of the stallions at Harris Barlavento, you know, which was already horrific and frightening. Did you see the similar, not similar, but the circumstance in at Al Shabaab Stud in Libya, where like armed militia units, this happened on Sunday, came in and basically looted the farm and took everything, took six stallions and six mares that were in foal, including eavesdropper. Crazy. Unbelievable. Got a lot of personnel news that we got to weave in, including the news from late last week that Guy Torsiglieri is going to step down from the NSA, from the steeplechase, as its president, and had a wonderful 10 years. I mean, fabulous. Has been on top of all the positive things that have happened for steeplechase. And of course, it's going to be a big year for Far Hills, the 100th anniversary, and Guy's been planning for that. But we got to get Guy on. He can take a bow for really a lot of wonderful things that he did to help steeplechase grow these last 10 years. Pete Fornatel starts us off, though. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 years old and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live like a good boy ought to. And your mama takes a shine of football sun. Something different, all the girls have seen to like you. Cause you're handsome, like the dog.
Well, the good times will be rolling out in Vegas. Now we're within, literally within 4 weeks. And Pete Fornital and I, and a cast of thousands, literally, will bring the National Horse Players Championship to everybody. From Bally's, good morning, Pete. Happy New Year.
Good morning to you. Happy New Year. Yes, that's my next trip, and I'm looking forward to it already. Dinner reservations being made, players trying to make last-minute attempts to come out. I've encouraged a few industry people just to come out and check it out. It's great one-stop shopping between the industry folks who are around, but mostly the horse players. The closest thing we have, with all due respect to Questercon, to a horse player convention, and I'm really looking forward to it, and looking forward, of course, to working with you for more than the 20 minutes, half hour a week we get to do throughout the year. It's intense, but it's fun, and I feel like, based on my own experiences at the broadcast table with you and feedback I get from listeners, that the shows have improved every year, just in terms of we know more people, have a little more of a sense of how to follow it and bring it to the listeners along the way. I'm psyched, man.
It will be a lot of fun again. And actually, speaking of travel, I spent a good portion of the morning locking in a couple of the spring the spring voyages, including a marathon session that I did not necessarily expect, which is going to start March 15th and end April 12th. And, yeah, I don't think Tina's going to be too thrilled, but, it's crazy because it was one of those circumstances where you look at the calendar and you look at the various events and you can't come back home and then go back out. There's no reason to, especially given the geography. And so, right. we're going to be back at OBS, to broadcast from the sale, the March, OBS sale. That'll be March 16th, 17th, and 18th. And then on to New Orleans. I couldn't go to Risen Star Week this year because Risen Star Day is Mardi Gras. And so it's like impossible to even get to New Orleans, let alone stay anywhere. So this is the first time that's happened. Usually Risen Star is either right before or right after. So I said, all right, you know what? Let me get to a Louisiana Derby instead. And that happens to be that weekend. So it's an easy jump from Tampa to Fairgrounds. And then the HBPA convention will be broadcasting from for the fifth year, and that's at Hot Springs. So it's a 6 hour drive from New Orleans to Hot Springs. So I'll be there that week, and then when when the convention ends, it's Santa Anita Derby week. And so we're back to Santa Anita for Santa Anita Derby week. And when that ends, we do the recap show, and then we go to back to Hot Springs for Arkansas Derby week. So it was like there was no reason. The only thing that would interrupt this is going to be, you know, Tina hitting me with an umbrella. And let's just hope it doesn't snow during that period, because that's when nothing raises her ire more when I'm away than snow. So
hopefully
that's the,
okay. Hopefully it's laid up.
That's the, you know, that's the itinerary. And then, you know, home for a week and then off to the Ville for Derby. And, we're committed. Thanks to Clancy, we're committed to going to the Iroquois, you know, to go to Nashville, between Derby and Preakness, and then Preakness. Then we get to go home for, you know, a week or 10 days, and then Belmont. So there's the first half of the year, and there's also the Fountain of Youth and Tampa Bay Derby, and there's a Santa Anita trip ahead of Vegas. So my trips are locked in.
I'm tired just listening to that. Talk about the hardest working man in show business, Steve. That's good. That's making me feel a lot better about my itinerary. And in fact, I was taking notes so I can show your travel schedule to Susan when
there
she
you
complains
go.
About my travel schedule, which isn't nearly as bad. I've got Vegas. Then there is going to be like a 10 to 12 day stretch in England. I'm going to do Cheltenham and some TV work, hyping up
nice.
Kentucky Derby stuff over there. And then relatively simple, though, 3 weekends in a row, it's going to be Keeneland, Oaklawn, and then just by coincidence, and actually I got lucky, you know, when you hear horse players hear of family weddings in the spring, you know, for me, panic sets in. I'm always waiting to hear, oh, yes, and we're going to be married on the first Saturday in May. I was able to avoid that and avoid conflicts with the Arkansas Derby and my Keeneland trip, but it's the very next weekend. It's going to be whatever that is, April 19th or whatever. So it's going to be weekend trips in quick succession, Keeneland, Arkansas, and then back out to California. So, but I mean, again, I shouldn't complain just because I feel so lucky that we dodged the bullet of getting the wedding on one of those important races Saturday.
Well, before we dive into what'll be a very intense several weeks, because there's got to be some very edgy, desperate people looking to, you know, to get to Bally's yet. And there was the super qualifier Saturday at Santa Anita. I talked about it a little bit with Johnny on Monday. But talk about your holiday. What was the holiday like? How was Christmas, New Year's for the Four Natales?
We had a great time. Traveled. Christmas was in Brooklyn. Then went out to visit my mom on Long Island for a couple of days. Then up to a frozen lake in Maine where we got dumped on with like just the right amount of snow. It felt proper wintry. Perrin got to do the sledding in the driveway and the whole thing, but not so bad that it affected any travel plans. I basically worked straight through. We took a couple of weeks off on our industry show, on the In the Ring show, but we had In the Money Players shows going up the whole time. We migrated to a new podcast hosting service, which seems to be working out pretty well. People seem happy with it. And, you know, then it was just getting back and getting back into business and trying to shake off all the overindulgence of the holidays. I'm committing that stretch I mentioned where I'm going to be in England. I think I'm going to commit to running another half marathon. That'll get me, if I can get in training, that'll get me drinking less, eating better, and exercising every day, all the things you need to do to get over the I get my bloat 2 times a year. There's the Saratoga bloat and there's the holiday bloat. But now I'm on a path to get back into fighting trim.
I love it. Well, it did feel like the season ended. I guess it was Monday. Was it Monday night? I'm losing track, but Tina dragged me outside after she got back from school, and she took some lights off. She had the little light display thing that she had on one of the evergreens, and she took it down, and then in the house, you know, she'd already put away the tree, and she had done, you know, there's very few vestiges left of the holiday season, but it was really, it's always nice to. We had a particularly fun series. I haven't really talked about it yet. These last 2 days, we dove into recapping, but you know, we saw a lot of family. It was, you know, every couple of days we would either go to Brooklyn, Rochester. We had my godchildren, Sammy and Emma, come from Central New York, from Hamilton and Utica. They came in, spent time, and then I went to see my dad, and you know, we really. It was perfect in that regard. It had a real family theme throughout the 10 days.
Great to be able to cover a lot of ground and see a lot of family and make those important connections at that time of year. And in our house, too, we've been very slow to remove things. We haven't had the heart, really. The tree is still, and I did a good job of like watering the tree every day, so it doesn't just look like a big fire hazard sitting up there in the front of the house. It looks like okay, but we got to get it. You know, we're through Epiphany; it's time to get it down. And the other effect of the holidays, I walked by the turntable yesterday and saw that the J.D. McPherson record that we played a cut from is still stuck to the turntable. And it was really funny because I was doing some cooking, and it was the perfect time to put on our new record. And I like didn't have the heart to take the McPherson off and put it back in its sleeve, knowing it wouldn't be touched for another 11 months. But we'll get to all that in the next couple of days. It's time to turn the table. It's NHC season. It's Derby prep season, and that's just the way it goes. Putting stuff away, I like to remind myself, it's not fun, but it's a necessary part of the ritual.
Exactly. And on to pretty much everything. And yesterday, the visit with Jeremy Plonk, for those that were listening to the replay, and we talked Countdown to the Crown, and we've already had some preps, and that intensifies here in coming weeks. And as I referenced, the intensity for those that do not have their ticket punched, Pete. I mean, who have you heard from, and who have you noticed is still, you know, looking to make their way to Vegas with a first seat, let alone a second?
The two folks in my extended crew who I know are hoping to get there still, Nick Tamaro is on the outside looking in, and also professional horse player Sean Borman, who doesn't spend a lot of time during the year playing in contests because, you know, he can... Chasing seats can get in the way of your day-to-day grind when you're a pro, but he's had such a positive experience out there, he's trying to do something last minute to get himself there as well. So hopefully those two and the listeners checking this out who are so inclined and want to make it out there will take advantage of one of these last opportunities. We certainly had an awful lot of people punching their seats at the Super Qualifier at Santa Anita over last weekend.
Well, and, you know, that opportunity, and I think that's the last of the Super Qualifiers, right? There is the last chance at Bally's, but, you know, that can send four or five people into the contest. But I think that's the last of the, you know, of the major seat offerings.
Yeah, I thought there was something, I feel like there was something bubbling up that there might be another chance online, but in terms of...
Oh, there's some, but...
Right?
Yeah, not, yeah.
Not like this.
No,
not
this was 12.
In a day.
Exactly.
Yeah. And 14 over the weekend out of Santa Anita, and some big names on this list. My old buddy Ken McMahon getting the job done,
yep.
Running his bankroll up to 2,000, and then winning not just the NHC seat, he hasn't decided which year he's going to use it for yet, but taking home over 14,000 in prize money. Other very familiar names you'll see on leaderboards throughout the year, John Fisher, David McCarty. Heck, I should just run them all down. Second place was Darren Yarwood. Fisher, I mentioned, in third, David McCarty in fourth, Gary Bain, who had an amazing weekend, also winning a prize on Sunday.
Yeah.
The seat, also won that on-track bonus. Chris Couples, Tom Noon, a former NHC Tour champion, a name I don't know and will probably butcher the pronunciation of, Crescencio de Kayanen, Andy Asaro, Jim Meeks, who's a legendary accomplishment
sure.
in tournaments, Alan Hoffman, Jared Henry. That was the dozen who made it in via the super qualifier on Saturday.
Well, and just looking, and five is right when it comes to the February 6th on-site Bally's first chance, last chance, first chance, as it were. The best opportunity, I suppose, in terms of quantity, next Saturday, Pete, the 18th, online, this is really a pretty good last opportunity, five seats. Next Saturday, the 18th, $100 contest, five guaranteed, and then any extra that could come about, one seat for every 105 entries. So, you know, anything over, you know, 525 could help produce, you know, a couple of extra opportunities. And I would think for $100, and this is at horseplayers.com, that's the last seemingly bulky offering. Then there's plenty of, you know, there's the usual one and two seat opportunities. Monmouth on the 25th has got player's choice, two seats for this year or next. Chris Katulak is going to join us in the next hour. Their contest on the 25th, and the same thing. It's a choice for the player, either, you know, come take now or next year. That's a two-day contest at Fonner. So we'll talk to, we'll get a chance to talk to Chris. Good to catch up with him. Sam Houston, we should mention. Sam Houston has got two. That's on the 26th as well. So, you know, aside from the online, there's still a couple of on-site opportunities, you know, dotting the landscape. Tampa on Saturday, Pete, two seats at Tampa Bay Downs.
It's crunch time, and it's cool to know that some of these regional opportunities exist as well. Tampa, Fonner Park, as you mentioned, that's sort of the old school NHC days. That was kind of how it worked. It was all the regional champions coming together. Online play and the ability to play in these live bank contests nationally have kind of changed that feel. But it's kind of cool to look for these track marketing folks to give their local players a chance to go and see what it's all about. I think it's cool that there's still some of those out there, and excited to see who gets to fill those seats. And no doubt we'll be talking to a lot of these folks in a couple of weeks out of Bally's.
Just looking too at the leaderboard list, and we haven't talked about these as much as we have in other years, but Robert Pennell and James Giamundo. This is on the Tour Rookie leaderboard, and they're sparring up on top, 15,500 and 14,800 points, respectively, first and second. And then with 11,479, Greg Kalawag, Matt Baca, and Jack Christian. There's your top five when it comes to the rookie leaderboard. And then when it comes to the big prize, and of course, some serious opportunity, right? I mean, you win that tour, there's real money. The top 10, really.
Absolutely, especially the money being at the top. Does the tour? I know some years. I apologize for not being up on this year. Some years the tour ends close to the calendar year. But I don't know what the rules are for the 2019 tour, what the last event in it is. That's worth looking into, because obviously the tour winner is everyone I've interviewed. I mean, it's a great story. I mean, you don't win that tour by luck. You win it by everyone has a good story of how they got there, whether it was JK a few years ago or Brent Sumja his year. Dave Goodfriend, of course, his incredible run last year. So I'll be very excited to cover that story. Probably do an extended visit with that person on the In the Money show, and I imagine it's something you'll have here. And you mentioned the rookies and the rookie tour. We've seen that be a good tool. Players like Pete Dressen got much more involved in tournaments because of the existence of that tour, and now he's a perennial showing up at all the big contest events. The only one of the rookies I've had the pleasure of speaking with so far is Jack Christian, who won one of the Naira events earlier this year, and seems like another one of these sharp, horse racing, young, analytical minds, the exact people we want to be getting involved. So those will be good stories as well, and hopefully people we can corner when we get out there to the NHC.
Well, and there are still some points. I mean, they're waning, but some of these on-sites still have got points. So there are some available. Then there's, you know, for instance, there's the Hialeah contest this weekend. No tour points for that, for instance. But there are still some points to be had. And looking at the leaderboard, I tell you, it's tight. You got Dave Snyder on top, 20,587. Christy Moore, 20,172. Bob Engelhart, 19,766. Nick Fozzolari, whose name we see regularly, 19,697. Greg Kingma, 19,191. Paul Sherman, 18,914. Kenny Jordan, 18,761. And There's your top seven within essentially less than 2,000 points separating the top seven.
Amazing to see Paul Sherman making another run, another high-up finish on the tour. I don't know that anybody keeps the metrics of all-time success on the tour, but for a meteor strike out of the sky, he would have won it last year with the Dave Goodfriend amazing and extremely unlikely performance. And then to have another top 10 finish, it's amazing. It looks to me like it's going to be hard for him to improve his score enough from here. But, you know, he does all the math. He knows. If he's drawing live, he knows. And it's great to see him up there. And other names as well. I mean, Ken Jordan, a regular player and somebody I've had the pleasure of hanging out with a number of tournaments. Greg Kingma, who just got into tournaments a couple of years ago. I met him writing a piece at DRF. Christy Moore has been a great story the last couple of seasons. Lots of success. Joe Rosen is another one who sort of comes from the rookie tour. I believe he had a high-up finish, if not even won the rookie tour last year. I know he's a big Stats Racelens user. Good to see that name there. And then players, just perennial favorites, the likes of, and I feel bad for the people I'm leaving out, but I'll just name-check Dave Nichols and Joe Johnson and Ed Peters as folks I always look forward to getting a chance to see and talk to at tournaments around the country. And I'm sure we'll be there with bells on at Bally's come NHC time.
You know, and one thing that, you know, and all the information available at the NHC tab at ntra.com, one thing that's notable, Pete, and this is through January 3rd, which is the top 50 on the tour point-wise who have not qualified. And, you know, of course, one of the benefits of playing on the tour and you know, the continuity that tour points, you know, accumulation, one of the benefits, obviously, is you know, coming in and it certainly don't want to characterize it as coming in the back door, but there are some notable names that are on that list, including Joe Khoury and Brent Sumja. Right? But you know, some of the top performers this year that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, fell, you know, just beneath the cut line. Obviously, they've performed well overall, but Frank Foss, Muggsy Kreiser, Larry Calden, Dennis DeCower, Jim Giamundo, Dino Herrera, Greg Knepper, Phil Hodebeck, Wendy Long, Todd Farrow. There's your top 10. And then there's another, you know, another three, four dozen that are going to qualify potentially, you know, based on tour points. So there's the benefit of playing and you know, putting in the effort on a regular basis during the course of the year.
And I could see a world in which it's no accident that you see big players like a Dennis DeCower twice, who's finished second at the NHC. And you mentioned, of course, Corey and Samja, veterans who have major wins to their on their resumes. If you don't care about getting two, I could see it changing the way you play in some instances throughout the year, especially like in an online qualifier, where the idea, if you get sort of an accidental near miss early, where you might be in some spots where you lay up a little bit in a contest for tour points, knowing that that, whether you want to call it the back door or side door or whatever it is, knowing that that door is going to be open to you. Of course, if you want the maximum two qualifications, you're still going to have to get up there in the very top. But I wonder if there's some ways in which having that option changes the way these folks play, and they know, okay, well, I'm going to be able to get in that way, so maybe I can play this 4-1 shot late that I like to get in the top five, as opposed to having to stretch a horse I don't like to get in the top two and get a spot. It's an interesting topic for conversation anyway.
Well, speaking of topics, Pete, interesting, and I saw a lot of this through some things that you were tweeting out, and the Daily Fantasy Sport controversy nationally that seemed to have gotten plenty of attention. It actually had a little bit of a parallel to, you know, something contest related on our side of the ledger. Flesh this out, and I was sort of distracted, you know, over the weekend, and so I saw some of the references, but give everybody the specifics, and you know, it seems like there is a controversy like this in one shape or form, you know, on a fairly regular basis, and it's almost like a moving target when it comes to, you know, trying to figure out how to stay ahead of those that are kind of skirting the rules to some degree.
Well, it's hard because in all these endeavors, whether you're talking about playing the horses or playing fantasy sports, you're going to attract people necessarily who are looking for an edge. And it becomes tricky sometimes to separate what the fair edge is from the unfair edge. In the case of this DFS story, you had ex-bachelor contestant Jade Roper Tolbert and her husband participating in this DFS contest. I think it was a millionaire maker. And each person is legally allowed to submit 200, I'm kind of making up some numbers here because I don't remember all the particulars, but I think it's something like each person can submit 250 lineups. Well, between her and her husband, they had, and again, I'm rough around the edges of the numbers here, but of their 500 lineups, 497 of them were unique. There's no way that can happen by coincidence. They were obviously colluding, putting together, putting together their best chance to maximize to win the big prize. That idea, just like in handicapping tournaments, of colluding across entries, strategically playing entries off of each other, is not allowed according to the rules, so now it's a big controversy. It's very tricky in handicapping contests to know exactly where to draw that line. And no contest operator that I know of on the horse racing side has ever done anything about it, where we've seen, I don't want to call people out here by name, but I've had, you know, people have decided, and I guess because I'm, you know, at the center of these things with having covered contests for so many years for DRF, I've taken on, unfortunately, in some people's eyes, the role of being the tournament comp, a role I'm not interested in, but for reasons you were intimating about earlier. But it has happened on times. But I've had several people point out some very obvious examples of people with the same surname putting in contest entries that are it can go either way. But in some instances where there is the exact same picks across contests, where it's pretty obvious what's going on. And I get it; it's such muddy water to step into because to know exactly where to draw the line. But I will say this: I do think it's a mistake in these instances to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And what I mean by that is just because you can't have a perfect set of rules to prevent this, and just because on some level it's impossible to prevent. Doesn't mean you should let these really obvious examples of people trying to take an unfair example advantage pass. And the example I'd use is like the pit boss in the casino. You don't have to have a set of rules that says exactly how much card counting is not accepted by the house. The house just makes the rules, and if they're doing something that you don't like, you're escorted out of the building, and you know you don't get to sue. In fact, in casino gambling, it seems like it almost works the other way around, where retroactively, at least in the Phil Ivey case, the casino can come after you for unfairly taking money from them, which I think is ridiculous in its own way, but it's a conversation for another time. But my point is, if you're a contest operator and you see this stuff going on, it's just very bad for business. And I think in this DFS case, they're absolutely doing the right thing by trying to call it out and eliminate it as much as possible. And again, just because you can't do it every time, just because you can't eliminate everybody trying to take an edge, doesn't mean you shouldn't punish the people who are doing it so egregiously that it's going to hurt the marketing of the whole operation. And that's the lesson I'd like to see contest operators on the horse racing side take from this story on the DFS side.
Well, and, you know, we had what was it called? Fourgate, when when the pick and pray contest, when you get people just, you know, playing the same number, you know, just to have an entry, and you know, that obviously isn't in the spirit of the competition, but without creating, you know, a series of roadblocks against it, you understand how it happens, and it diminishes from everybody's approach and everybody's interests, essentially. You want people to participate in the spirit of the endeavor.
It's very hard to enforce. I guess I had no problem with the Fourgate situation other than the fact that at that time, and they've since been revised, but at that time, the rules, not only, it's okay that the rules don't try to prevent that to me, but it's not good to have a contest format where you can make an argument that that's not far from optimal strategy. In other words, if you're putting up an entry fee and other players are getting the benefit from that, play all the fours all you want. But when you have a contest that's so hard to win that it's more or less of a lottery, and it makes sense to just spend no time and pick random numbers. Granted, you can make an argument that picking all the same number probably not as optimal as mixing it up a little bit in terms of you're less likely to have to share it, as the Fourgate folks found. But that's what I didn't like about that story. The collusion stuff is a much stickier wicket. But I just don't love that the ostrich routine seems to be the preferred method of a lot of contest operators when it comes to this stuff. I'd like to see some more proactive steps taken so that we don't get a really embarrassing situation at some point with obvious cheating occurring and having no recourse to deal with it. And unfortunately, in the online contest world and some other prominent places as well, that's the case. I like what has happened at the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, where they had that issue a few years ago, and they've taken every step to resolve it. And that contest is very much back on the upswing, despite looking like it was on the ropes after that incident that year. But because they acted so decisively, I think you can directly attribute their recovery and being back on the right trajectory to taking the exact kind of steps I'm saying that folks on the online side and perhaps even the NHC should do before they have a controversy as bad as the one from the Breeders' Cup from a couple of years ago.
Well, that circumstance, Tim Schramm swung, into attack mode and figured out, how do we address this, and brought in, you know, brought in a committee and you know, rule examination and, you know, reached out to the some of the major names and personalities that participate and, you know, tried, you know, very visibly to, you know, make sure everybody was satisfied with a resolution and a direction. And that counts for something.
Oh, definitely. I think they deserve all the credit of the players committee over there and the folks at the Breeders' Cup that did an excellent job. And it concerns me to some degree that, you know, the players committee on the NCRA side they've got a great history of making positive changes and revising that format. And it concerns me that this is an issue they've chosen not to address. I know it's complicated, but I don't think they've acted correctly in that regard. I think there's things that can be done. And I think to just be worried about the fear of some phantom lawsuit or whatever the concern must be that they haven't tried to codify anything, I don't get it. And I sure hope it doesn't ultimately end up putting a stain on that tournament, because, you know, I love going every year and I always talk about the benefits of it, but, you know, no format is perfect. And when I look at the things that I would change about the NHC, that would be one. I'd like to have some ability to deal with obvious cheating as opposed to having the potential for a story like this DFS one happening at their championship.
Pete, finally, I wanted to give you a chance to mention, don't know how often you're going to write and contribute, but I saw that you're doing the BrizNet, the betting guide, contributing to that, and you started off kind of a year opening type of a piece, kind of a New Year's resolution piece.
I think it's a good time of year to try to set goals. I think that's something that's underappreciated in all aspects of life, but especially when it comes to playing the horses, and to try to take some time and think about what you're looking to accomplish. And hey, if the answer is I just want to have fun with my buddies and I'm not too worried about it, that's fine, no judgment. But if you're somebody who wants to improve and who wants to try to make some money and have this be something more than just a pure entertainment, no better time of the year than the beginning of the year to stop and take goals. And so I wrote about that a little bit. I'm going to be writing once a month for the BrizNet Betting Guide. Had a lot of fun with a couple of pieces last year. Jim Baldehill's a lot of fun to work with, and really looking forward to covering a variety of topics. Some I think will be similar to stuff I've done in the past, interviews, things like that. I'll have a chance to maybe do some deep dives on the handicapping and betting side. And hopefully enough stuff will come up that it'll be more than once a month. But I'm committed to submitting something the first week of every month for 2020. It's really great to get back into the writing side of things and having this structure and deadlines, thanks to Jim and the BrizNet Betting Guide. That's where I'm going to be starting off. And we'll
Fun.
See. Still an open possibility. I'll be doing some writing for somebody about the NHC. If nothing else, I'll pop some pieces up on the InTheMoneyPodcast.com blog.
Pete Fornatel, everybody, looms boldly, the In the Money Players podcast, and so much more. Pete, I appreciate it, and we'll start to fold in prominent race result conversation as well as the contest build up toward Bally's. Going to be the new experience, the new for me. I never got to go the first time around, so it'll be fresh and fresh and new.
I'm in the same boat. I've never been to an NHC that wasn't Treasure Island. I think I might have covered the entire Treasure Island era, but I'm very excited about what comes next and getting the chance to hang with you at the NHC.
Pete Fornatel, everybody. Let's take a break. Top of the hour upon us. And Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, and Sire Watch himself, Sid, is going to head out to Kentucky for the sale next week. We'll do a little preview reference to the sale, but got a hatful of things to touch on with Sid, who joins us next. Chris Katulak is going to visit as well. Seth Merrow, and I'm expecting a visit from Aaron Crady from the TCA as well. Back after this, Hour 2 at the Races.
racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
On Sirius XM Radio.
Your feet in the air and your head on the ground. Try this trick and spin it, yeah. Your head will collapse, there's nothing in it. And you ask yourself, where is my mind? Where is my mind? Where is my mind?
We're back. Hour two at the races. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Visit number one on the year 2020.